You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will take our broadcast and make it a blessing to you today. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service today, and we are thankful for each one in our congregation, and we're trusting that you'll take us and use us as an instrument in your hands for the good of souls. We know that of ourselves we are nothing and can do nothing, but we know that in your hands we can be a vessel for you to use. And this is our sincere prayer and sincere desire. You know the congregation, you know their burdens, you know their cares, you know their concerns. And we're asking you out of your heart of love to minister to each one according to their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My prayer, dear Lord, is strength to help me do the
our subject for today's broadcast, "But they did not ask counsel of the Lord." And our text of scripture is Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14. "And the men took of their viticles and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." God brought Israel into the promised land, and they began to take it city by city. God had told them to destroy everything, the people and their cattle and so forth, from the land, along with all their idols. And Joshua, who had succeeded Moses in leadership, endeavored to do what the Lord told him to do. But there was something happened in the life of Joshua and his leadership that was not according to the will of God. And we have read in this text of scripture today that they did not seek counsel of the Lord. The people of Gibeon came to Joshua, and they did wildly, as we read in the 9th chapter, verses 4, 5, and 6. "They did work wildly, and went and made as it they were, had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their donkeys, and wine bottles, old and rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, 'We be come from a far country. Now therefore make peace, give us a peace treaty.'" Now, Israel had suspicion about these people and whether they were really telling the truth or not. And maybe they were close by, but they did not investigate, and they did not inquire of the Lord. The fact of the matter is, these people, these Gibeonites, lived only about 6 miles from Jerusalem. And so they came wildly and deceived Joshua and the children of Israel. They acted with so little caution. Why did they not check it out? Why did they not seek counsel of the Lord? Well, I really have no answer for that. But the men of Gibeon, with their old shoes and with their old musty bread and so forth, they deceived them, and Joshua and the children of Israel did enter into a peace covenant with them. And later, to their sorrow, they found out that these people had deceived them and that they did indeed live nearby. Now, God means what He says. And this is a lesson for us. This is not merely a history lesson that we read about here in Joshua 9, but this is a lesson for us. Let's go back into the wilderness. While Moses was still living and leading the children of Israel, they came to a place where they had no water, and they murmured and they complained about it. And God told Moses to take the rod that he had taken with him into Egypt and strike a rock. And Moses had Aaron to do that, and water gushed out, and the people and their cattle had plenty of water. And time went on, and the same thing happened again. They had gotten into a situation where there was no water, and they came accusing Moses and complaining. And this time the Lord told Moses to speak to a rock. And if he would do that, then of course the water would come out. But the people had provoked Moses, although he was one of the meekest of men, yet he was still human, and the people had provoked him. And so this second time, Moses struck the rock, with the rod like he had the first time. But that was not what the Lord had said. And it greatly grieved the Lord, as we read in the book of Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Now, you might think that that was a minor thing, but with God, it was not a minor thing. It was a very serious thing. And because Moses struck the rock when God had told him to speak to it, God said, "Moses, Aaron, you will not lead this people into the promised land." Now, when Moses was about 120 years old, God led him up on Mount Pisgah and showed him the land of Israel, in which they were, or Canaan, which they were going to inherit. But God again reminded Moses, "You can see it, but you'll never enter it because you did not obey me." So it is a very serious thing. We need to be careful to follow God's commands and do what he tells us to do. Sometime after the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan, the kingdom was divided after Moses, or after Solomon died, and the northern kingdom became known as Israel, and the southern kingdom was Judah. And a man of God living in Judah was told to go to Israel, to Bethel, and cry out against the altar that Jeroboam had set up there. He had set up a golden calf and had the people begin to worship idols along with supposedly worshiping God. And the Lord sent this man of God up to Bethel to prophesy against it. And he did go, and the king, Jeroboam, saw him, and he stretched out his hand to command the people to take him, and his hand withered. And he changed his attitude very quickly. And he asked the man of God to pray for him. And the man of God prayed for him, and the Lord healed his hand and made it just like it was before. And the king wanted this man of God to go home with him. He wanted to reward him. But the man of God said, "No, I would not go if you offered me half of your kingdom, because the Lord told me that I was neither to eat nor drink in the borders of Israel. I was to come one way, and I was to return home another way. So I will not go with you, and I will not eat, and I will not drink in the land." Now there were two young men there, and saw what happened, and they went home, and they told their aged father about it. And he said to the sons, "Did you see the way the man of God went?" "Yes, we saw how he went." "Now," he said, "you saddle my donkey, and I'll go look for him." So he did. He went looking, and the man of God had stopped, got off of his donkey, and was sitting by the roadside. And here came this old prophet, and he got off of his animal and sat down beside the man of God and began to talk to him. And he wanted the man of God to come back to his house. And the man of God told him the same thing that he had told the king. "God told me I was not to eat nor drink in the borders of Israel, and so I cannot go home with you." You know what the old false prophet said? "I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, shall he may eat bread and drink water." But he lied to him. But at that time, the man of God didn't know that. You mean to tell me that an angel came and told you to have me to come back to your house? Yes, an angel did. I'm wondering if that isn't where the Apostle Paul got the inspiration to write to the Galatian brethren, how that if anybody came and preached any other gospel than he had preached, let him be accursed. Even if an angel from heaven came and told you something different than I preached, let him be accursed. But the man of God believed this prophet because he claimed an angel had come and told him to bring the man of God back. So he went back with him, and they sat down to eat. And then whenever they were eating, the prophet, the false prophet, told him, "You're never going to enter the border of Judah again. You're going to die before then." After they had eaten, the man of God got on his animal, and he started on his way, and a lion came out of the woods, knocked him off of his animal, and slew him. And the word got back to the old false prophet that had lied to him about it, and he went looking for him, and there he found him. The lion did not harm the animal, but he did destroy, he did kill the man of God. And the false prophet took the man of God's body and buried it, and he said, "Now whenever I die, I want you to bury me along the side of this prophet." So the man of God listened to the false prophet, did what God told him not to do, and he died as a result. So again, I emphasize the fact of the need of our doing whatever God tells us to do. Now, the people of Gideon lied to Joshua, as I read from our text, 9 and 14. And from a very far country, they said, "We have come because of the name of the Lord thy God." Now, they did not come because of the Lord God. They did not come because they wanted to worship the true God. They came to save their own necks, and so they lied about it. We are told in the Word of God how later on the children of Israel had to come and defend these Gideonites because they were being attacked. But they had made an oath, they had entered into this covenant, and they felt like they had to keep it because they had made the vow before God. So it pays to seek the counsel of Almighty God. We read in this chapter here, beginning with verse 9, "And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. The name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take vinticles with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This is our bread we took hot from our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. And now, behold, it is dry, and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they are rent now. And these are our garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their vinticles, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." And so these men certainly fooled Joshua. And Joshua's great mistake was because he had not sought the counsel of the Lord. Now we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8 through 11, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereunto I have sent it. And so these men, or Joshua and the children of Israel, got into grave trouble, I say, because they did not seek the counsel of the Lord. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king, and the men of the northern tribes under Jeroboam, under his leadership, they came to Rehoboam asking him to lighten their load. Solomon, in the last years of his life, had taxed the people very heavily, and they wanted their load lightened. And Rehoboam asked them to give him some time, and he sought counsel from the older people, and they advised him to do what the people wanted to do, lighten their load. But he went to the young people and asked them what he should do, and they in effect told him, don't lighten their load, but make it heavier. And Rehoboam followed the counsel of the young people, and as a result, the kingdom was divided. And that's how we get the kingdom, northern kingdom of Israel, and how we have the kingdom of Judah, was because Rehoboam sought the counsel of the young and followed their counsel and their advice. I'd have to say that he did not follow the counsel of the Almighty either. Now, we are not to lean to our own understanding, but we are to acknowledge God. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. We read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning with verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded it. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer them. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and they be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now again, I emphasize for about the third time the importance of our obeying Almighty God, of seeking God's counsel for our lives. For he said his ways were higher than our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts, than the heavens are above the earth. Therefore, we are not to lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. The Bible says the footsteps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord has showed thee what is good, and what he requires of thee, that thou shalt do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Therefore, let the Lord direct our path, lead us by his Spirit, and be guided by his word. For his word is true, his Spirit is true, and his way is right. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. We trust that the Word of God that has been given will be taken seriously and will be a blessing to our precious congregation, for we ask this in Jesus' name and for thy glory. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. Now, it would be a blessing to us and encouragement to us if you would take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. Our postal address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service at 6. And they are broadcast live over the internet. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And if you missed a broadcast, you may go to our archives, for we have a number of previous broadcasts there on the archives. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. And again, we trust the broadcast has been a blessing to you. And we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. times like these, I have an anchor, I'm very sure, I'm very sure, my anchor holds and grips the solid. Rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure, my anchor grips the sun.